I'm just feeling like I'm going to move through this series of teachings again on Thursday nights. Jesus in the midst of his church. And I ministered this 11 years ago. My, time flies when you're having fun. That's 2013. I'm sorry, that's not 11. That's 8. Wow, I'm tired. Can't even do math. Praise God. Anyway, we're going to do it again. Amen. And I can't tell you that it's going to be exactly like it was then, because this is now and that was then. And if you've ever preached a message twice, you find out real quick you don't preach it the same twice in a row. It's the same scripture, same text, but yet other territory is covered while you're preaching. And so I can't tell you it's going to be just like it was 8 years ago, but I can tell you that it's going to be God's word for tonight and for where we're living tonight, and to strengthen, encourage, and edify us tonight. Amen. So Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. Thank you for standing, for reading our opening scripture. Now stand up in your heart and be attentive with your ears and hear the rest of the scriptures. Amen. Praise God, because we're moving into the church of Ephesus tonight in Revelation chapter number 2. And if you want to find that in your Bibles, if not, Brother Lucas will scroll it through up on our projector screen there. But if you want to open your Bible and look at your Bible, that's fine. You can do that too. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. I mean, this is sounding good. Amen. Praise God. He's, I know you've done this, and I know you've done this, and I know you've done this, and you've done this, and you have done this. And he even mentions patience twice, which is endurance. In other words, difficulties and hard situations, and you've still endured, and you've still labored, and you haven't fainted. Oh, but then it moves to verse number 4 and says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And notice that thou, that was them, they left the first love. They didn't lose it. They left it. They left it behind. They neglected it. We could use that terminology and still be saying the same thing. You've neglected your first love. So, if you will, here tonight, we find a church that is going through the motions, but and the motions are good, but something's missing about fire burning. Something's missing about relationship and sensitivity to God, and sensitivity to Jesus Christ, and allegiance to Jesus Christ. In other words, if you will, they've got it figured out. They've got it down pat what they're doing. And what they're doing is good. And what they're doing is right. But the most important part of the equation, if you will, is missing. To where Jesus can be the leader of it. Woo! To where Jesus can I say that again? To where Jesus can be the leader of it. Not them doing their own thing, even though it's a right thing. See, there's a situation right there that's sometimes hard to understand. You can be doing all the right things and still have a problem with Jesus. Still have a submission problem with Jesus. Still have a surrender problem with Jesus. And that's where the Ephesus church was at here. And he brings it to their attention. He commends them for the things they're doing right. But he lets them know that they are actually not doing it with the right motivation. They're not doing it with the love of God leading and the Holy Ghost leading. They're doing it out of just the knowledge they have obtained and how long they've been in it. Sometimes longevity is not a blessing. Did you catch that? Because sometimes in longevity we leave our first love and we feel like we've got it under control. And the truth is, we do have it under control, and that's the problem. Woo, and that's the problem. We don't want to have it under control. We want to be under His control. Hallelujah. And so then he lets them know, you've left your first love. And I hear what, listen to what he says in verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Says thou, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So once again, Jesus Christ, where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. And guess what? When Jesus is in the midst, he wants to talk. He wants to fellowship. He wants to whisper in your ear words of admonition, words of encouragement. See, that's what he's doing here. He's encouraging the church. He's telling them where they're doing good. And then he admonishes them, amen, of where they've left their relationship. How is your relationship with Jesus Christ today? I'm not asking about when you first found him or when he first found you. I'm not talking about when you were born again that first time and all life was new and there was newness in your heart and great desire. We preached about that. Great desire that came from that born again experience that kept you pressing on and learning great things about your King, learning great things about your Savior. But what I find and what I have found and what Jesus found here in the Ephesus churches is after time of learning, we think we've got it. And our dependence upon our God begins to dwindle. Now, first love. Greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Thou shalt love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay. But they were doing right. But yet he said, you've left your first love. Would you agree with me tonight that when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, that is a progressive present day relationship with him, of him speaking to you today what he wants you to do? Not just a list of the 10 commandments. Remember the rich young ruler? All these have I done from a youth up. Oh, but one thing thou lackest. Whoa. So it does make a difference if I'm lacking somewhere, doesn't it? So that's what Jesus is after here. They weren't paying attention to the areas they were lacking in because they had left their first love, which is an allegiance to Jesus Christ, that, Lord, show me today what I need to do. Show me today how I need to walk. That's what they were missing. That's what they had lost. He said, repent. Get your mind frame renewed to the reality of how dependent you are upon your Savior, upon your God, upon the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so he said, now repent, lest I come take that candlestick. Now you and I have been experiencing the Spirit of God and that relationship with Jesus in our midst. But if we will not move with his admonitions, he will come and remove that candlestick. Now, what is that a representation of? Well, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And then down to verse number 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah was seeing that candlestick. And then the answer or the understanding was the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. That's a representation or a symbol of the Holy Ghost of God in the midst. You see, that's when Jesus is in the midst, then the Holy Ghost is in the midst. Because that's the only way Christ is revealed, is by the Spirit of God. And so we see here then, Jesus was letting them know, if you do not pay attention to what I'm telling you, I'm just kind of putting in Oklahoma terms here. If you do not pay attention to what I am telling you, then the Spirit of God is going to depart from you. Whoa. And then he went on to say, but he that hath an ear, in other words, the one that will listen, the one that will do, will overcome and will be a partaker of that tree of life. Will be a partaker of the promises of God, because if God said it, it's going to happen. Praise God. And if Jesus said, repent or else, that's going to happen. Praise God. We've got to understand and realize sometimes Jesus wants us to move out of our comfort zone, wants us to move deeper into his kingdom, and wants us to pay close attention to what we need to change in our attitude, our minds, our life. Amen. Because Jesus in the midst of the church is not always just a blessing. Not always just that overwhelming sense of love. Sometimes it is that stern rebuke. It's time. Today is the day of salvation. Praise God. How many times have we stretched grace to its limit before we finally repented and was obedient? Will he judge me today or will he judge me tomorrow? Can I get by with it today and maybe tomorrow he'll forget about it? Whoa. I mean, you know, it's amazing what your mind can really think. You know. Anybody ever been mad at God? I know some have. But, you know, for this fella right here, there ain't no way I could be mad at God. God's did way too much for me, had so much mercy on me, so much grace on me. If something goes wrong, I understand 100% it was not my God. It was me. But what you find is those who get mad at God don't want to face me in the mirror. So they want to get mad at God instead. Instead of getting mad at themselves. You know, you can either, I don't know, you know, I don't think you can give God a black eye, do you? But the Bible says we can give the devil one. We say we can give the devil one anyway. Why do we say that? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's why we say we can give the devil a black eye, because God's word says we have the authority, we have the power over the enemy and the powers of the enemy through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, if we're in a right relationship with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so now we've kind of seen that the Spirit of God is the key source here of victory and overcoming. But yet, if we're not listening to the Spirit of God, we're not going to overcome. So here's the result of not listening. And this is extreme, but it's real, because it's God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Right there's the number one problem. Who are we supposed to love? God. With what? Everything that we have. Where do we fall? What's going to happen if we leave our first love? Who are we going to love if we leave our first love? We're going to love ourselves. We're going to love ourselves. So notice here, the perilous times are coming. The last days, there's going to be perilous times. Why? Because men, let me put it to you like this. Men have left their first love. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And what does that produce? It produces covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Notice, despisers of those that are good. Somebody who knows better, somebody who's lived for Jesus before and they're not now, they really don't like you. They despise you. Why? Because you're doing it and they didn't. And so they're not thinking highly of you. They're traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. Once again, if you're not loving God, you're loving pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, that kind of seems strange in the midst of what he's talking about, doesn't it? Because at first you think about he's talking about outright sinners. But he's not. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about people that make professions of faith. Otherwise, he wouldn't say having a form of godliness. So in other words, somewhere in the midst of all this wickedness, they're still talking about Jesus. They're still talking about God. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever wondered why someone could be ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth? Can I give you a possible answer? They left their first love. They're lovers of themselves. They have a form of godliness. They're going through the motions. They're reading the Bible. They're having Bible seminars. I'm kind of talking kind of goofy, because to me it's all goofy. Because they're not living for the one they're supposed to be living for. They're living for themselves in a religious realm of Christianity. And they're wanting to lift up their own name. I've said this before. I'll say it again. When someone's ministry is their name, don't even think about listening to them. Because it's their ministry, not God's. That's a warning. I'm going to throw this in here too, that proverbial, well, I can take the good and throw away the junk. Are you sure? That's a lot of confidence in yourself. When Paul said, abstain from it, stay away from it, don't listen to it. There's enough godly people you can listen to and get good all the way through. It's very presumptuous to think you have the power to know the good from the bad. Number one, if the Holy Ghost is leading, he'll probably tell you to turn it off. You don't need to be listening to that people or that person, because there's error amongst the good. Do you realize that's how all error becomes all error? A little bit and a little bit and a little bit and all of a sudden you got nothing but all error. That's why we don't do NIV, because there's some good in it. But we know it's not God's word. So if there's something wrong in it, that means they're not surrendered to God, are they? Hello? I don't want to listen to somebody that's not led by God. I want to listen to people who are led by God. So turn them off. If you don't know who they are, and you have no idea whether they're following God or not, don't listen to them. I tell you what, if you need to listen to preaching, go to CalvaryLighthouseChurch.com, and there's at least probably 100 sermons on that website. And you've heard them all before, but you probably don't remember that you have. And so go listen to them again, and you will know for sure you're getting godly teaching. Woo! You listen to some holiness preacher that you know nothing about, I'm telling you, you got to be careful. It's just because they say holiness doesn't mean they're walking with Jesus. Woo! See, I told you, I probably didn't mention any of that in that last time I preached that. Praise God. That was just for what we needed tonight. Why? Because they're ever learning. There's so many of them out there. They're ever learning. They never are able to come to the knowledge. In other words, they never change their lives to live for God. They're so consumed with telling everybody else how they ought to do theirs, but they never change themselves. Woo. Help me, Jesus. John 21:17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. What was going on here? Well, if you will, Jesus Christ was reestablishing Peter's first love. He was reestablishing Peter's allegiance to Jesus Christ and that he would follow him. Because we know the story, the previous story, how Peter denied him three times. And so Jesus asked him, three times. And Peter answered correctly three times and then showed forth the emotion with the third time of his commitment to keep that first love alive. Feed my sheep. And so we go on here, 1 Corinthians 13:1, trying not to make you fall asleep. I guess I just say it like a me too. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Okay, now, number one, it's not wrong to speak in tongues. What's wrong is not having charity. Paul spoke in tongues more than all of them. The key factor is take full advantage of speaking in tongues and be in surrender. Charity. Don't quit speaking in tongues just because you don't have charity. Get charity and speak in tongues. Okay, so we'll move on. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, man, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? So that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. What is he saying? Though I go through all the motions and do all the right things and have left my first love, I'm nothing. See, it's not a matter of your performance according to what you think you're getting done. It's a matter of your allegiance and following what he wants done. Amen. Hallelujah. There's so many that have went shipwrecked because they got all consumed about a certain doctrine or a certain belief. And they didn't follow on to know the Lord and have all the doctrines and all the beliefs that Jesus Christ wants going on. Amen. And so we I'm not going to stop till I reach that city. That means I'm not going to quit learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth till I reach that city. In other words, it's more than good preaching. It's a matter of saying, yes, Lord, when he speaks through the preaching. Praise God. Woo. So here we are. We've got it going on. And though I bestow all goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Wow. So we know that, you know, we're to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. But then Paul takes it a little deeper, doesn't he? He's saying, charity suffereth long and is kind. So now he's giving me an understanding of, if I have charity, this is what I have. If I don't have this, I don't have charity. And if I don't have charity, I'm nothing. Because I've lost my first love. I love myself too much. I'd rather listen to me than listen to God. I'd rather figure it out instead of let God show me. Woo. You may think that's funny, but you would be surprised how many people I know personally and have encountered that actually have that mentality. They want to figure it out instead of just follow God. And of course, yes, it does always cause trouble, problems, and it's not a good thing, because the only good thing comes from above. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we humble our hearts, so charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wow. Sounds like all we need is a good dose of charity, and we're going to be super Christians. Don't you want to be one? Don't you want to be a hero of faith? Amen. Like in the book of Hebrews, the heroes of faith. Well, let charity have her way instead of you have your way. All the problems with charity really are summed up in selfishness. Just being selfish. You are more concerned about you than you are about anybody else. And that's a lack of charity, because charity actually puts others before yourself. That's what charity does. And then when things don't go right, charity just rolls on, keeps going, endures all things. Praise God. I mean, you know, wow. It's amazing how many things could be changed and transformed with a good dose of God's love. Where are we going to find that? In the presence, when Jesus is in the midst of his church and the Spirit of God is moving and strengthening and blessing and then speaking to take me to that place of love. Proverbs 10 and 12 says, Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. I really feel like you could put forgiveness in the place of what it says. Love covereth all sins. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but forgiveness is God's way. Ooh. See, because if you love, you're not going to hold a grudge. You're not going to be bitter. You know, you got to realize here where these things come from. You can go back to 2 Timothy. See, if I love myself, lovers of themselves, look at all the ugliness that comes from loving yourself. So if I want to get rid of ugliness out of my life, I'm going to have to start loving God and loving my neighbor as myself. And who is my neighbor? Well, look to the right. Whoever you see, and look to the left. Whoever you see, that's your neighbor. And whoever you see on the street, that's your neighbor. And whoever you encounter at the cafe, that's your neighbor. Whoever you encounter at the grocery store, that's your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The bottom line is, are you being a neighbor? Are you loving? Have you got that first love going on? So that first love just takes care of a lot of problems. Takes care of a lot of baggage. Takes care of a lot of flesh. Takes care of a lot of carnality when I'm in love with God more than I'm in love with myself. Wow. Proverbs 17:9, and he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. See, love, it wants to help people, not hurt people. It wants to encourage folks, not destroy. You know, love wants to overlook folks and see the good. See the potential. Aren't you glad God did that for you? Whew, hallelujah. Praise God. He looked at us and saw the potential, not what we were. Praise our God. That's love. That's love. And then I'm closing with Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll stop right there. I'm going to read the fruit of the Spirit also, but I want you to understand who Paul's talking to. At first thought, you think he's talking about sinners. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the church of Galatia. Christians. And having to admonish them that if you live this way, you're not going to go to heaven. You can't live how you want to live and go to heaven. You got to have your first love. Allegiance to Jesus Christ, who's going to lead me out of this world. Praise God. And into His glorious kingdom. Praise be to our God. And so He's admonishing them. He's telling them all the things they're doing wrong. When you look at that and you think, well, surely Christians wouldn't be doing stuff like that. Yeah. I'll just leave that pause of silence there just for a moment for us all to realize we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And we are striving to walk with the Master so we don't live there anymore, because we're all capable of living in sin if we leave our first love. See, if you're having problems with sin, it's because you've left your first love. You're not in love with God anymore. Who are you loving? I'll let you answer that yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit, aha. Can I put it like this? But the fruit of the first love, I don't think I'm adding to or taking away. I think I'm bringing clarity here to the reality of the Spirit of God is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The very thing God wants thriving in our lives. And see what love produces. It produces joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. You realize these are all the counters of the works of the flesh? In other words, this is what God's going to do. This is what love's going to do. This is what the Spirit of God's going to do if I keep the first love alive. Amen. If I don't neglect my salvation, don't neglect my first love, don't leave your first love. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. You know, sometimes envy is a tricky thing. Envy and jealousy are sisters, I guess you could say. Brothers, if you want to call them brothers. They go hand in hand. Why do they always? Well, what's so special about them? Pity parties. Where do they come from? Envy? Jealousy? Where does that come from? A lover of self. That's where it comes from. You think too highly of yourself. You see, you're supposed to weep with those that are weeping and laugh with those that are merry. And whatever's going on good in somebody else's life, you need to be right in the middle of it and enjoying it too. But instead, well, why are they so happy? Why do they always get blessed? Why are they? And why are they? And what is that? That's a selfish pity party of a carnal mind who's left their first love. Because he loves you just like you were his only child. And the only difference between you and that individual that you have a problem with is the fact that individual knows they're loved. And is loving back. And you know you're loved, but you ain't loving nobody but yourself. Whoa. That's tight. That's rough. That's steel-toed boots. We need it. The boots I'm talking about. Woo, praise God. The reality. It's got to be reality. Am I in love with Jesus Christ to where I want to do what he wants done regardless of what anybody else is doing to me or what anybody else is getting from God? I was joking here. Maybe I hope I was joking. Brother Shelton was telling me this morning as we was traveling, he asked me about my kidney stone. He said, have you got rid of your kidney stone yet? And I said, no, not yet. He said, well, when y'all prayed for me the last time I had kidney stones, he said, they just went away. I never felt anything anymore. I said, no fair. No fair. Praise God. So I could have got all upset. I was just joking. I wasn't upset. I was thankful. Praise God. You know, then, you know. I don't know if he told me that before, if he told anybody about that, you know, but, you know, church, whether we realize it or not, God has touched and healed in this house so many times. And all the time we say, well, I wish God would heal. Well, open up your eyes, because he has. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, do you want to be sick all the time so God can heal? I mean, you know, God has healed multitudes of times. Hallelujah. And I am anxiously, joyfully, cheerfully enduring and being patient until he heals me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, just because he healed somebody else, I'm not going to get mad at God. Why should I? Because if he healed them, he can heal me too. Praise God. So I'll just wait my turn, praise the Lord, and I'll rejoice with those who's been healed, and I'll rejoice with those who's got their touch, I'll rejoice with those who get prayed through. I got prayed through, praise God, I'm thankful, hallelujah. But the reality is, I rejoice with everybody that gets that touch of God, that move of God. Why should I be envious when I can have it all? He will not withhold any good thing from those who... there's the clincher. You want to know why you ain't got it? Woohoo! Praise God. You've left your first love. Because those that are in love with Jesus walk uprightly. Because they want to please Him in all things. Because they love Him more than they love themselves. Wow. Glory. Amen. Jesus, in the midst of His church. I think maybe now you understand a little bit. It's not always a blessing. Sometimes it's a tanning. Sometimes it's chastisement. Sometimes it's like, wow, this is really, really difficult. But it's all love. It's all love. See, Jesus loved the church of Ephesus, and He commended them for the things they had done, but He reminded them of the most precious thing they had left and said, you got to get it back or it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. Time may go by and it may not seem like it's costing anything, but according to Jesus, it's going to cost you everything if you don't hear what the Spirit is saying to you. See, I brought it down. If I don't hear what the Spirit is saying to me, it's going to cost me. If you don't hear what the Spirit's saying to you, it's going to cost you and those around you. As with me, those around me, and in the position I'm in, it's just going to cost you too. So I can't leave my first love. I can't. I must do whatever it takes to maintain it and walk with Jesus, the Son of God, through the Holy Ghost of God. And when that Spirit of God moves in this house, then I need to be right in the middle of that move every time. Every time. Doesn't mean I have to be a runner. It means I have to be in allegiance and in surrender. Hallelujah. Every time. Every time. Why would I want to miss a move of God? Why would I not want to move into the presence of my Savior when He's in the midst? It's a good question, isn't it? But yet, there's been times where we all have not, when we could have, because that's part of the battle. That's part of the overcoming. That's part of hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to the King. How many's ever heard of body language? Sometimes the Spirit is speaking to the church when somebody moves out with the Spirit of God. You know what the Spirit's saying when somebody does that? I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Woo. I'm here. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I'm here. I'm here. What are you going to do with that? Do you realize what that is the signal of? It's time for you to get up
and get in. Whether you walk, or whether you pray, or whether you lift your hands, whether you speak in tongues, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Woo. Praise God. He's here. Praise God. He's here. Glory to the King. Jesus is in the midst of his church. Amen. Sister Pepper, could you come back to the piano? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let's just lift our hands. Praise God. Father in heaven, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for your Holy Ghost. I thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, whereby we have been washed from our sins. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, God, that you will talk to us. You will reveal to us, oh Lord God, those things, those weights, oh Lord, that beset us, that sin that sets us back, Lord, that selfishness that deprives us of your blessings, Lord, deprives us of your presence. God of heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your truths. I thank you for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whereby we might know you. Lord, you've spoke to us in this house. Amen. That we would walk with you. That we would know you. God of heaven, we've got to maintain, Lord, that first love. That spirit-filled life. Lord, that fruit of your Holy Ghost. That love of God that brings joy because we're walking therein. Lord, it brings us power to help others, encourage others, and deny ourselves. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, oh, for your love, your presence in this house tonight. Hallelujah. For truly, Lord Jesus, your word is true, and you are in our midst. Hallelujah. We sense your spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, you know our bodies are tired. Lord, we're weary in body, weary in mind. The Lord God, our hearts are hungry, Lord God. Our souls cry out. Refresh us, renew us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we might be filled with your power in our inner man this night, Lord, before we leave this place. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. These altars are open here tonight, church. You can come kneel down. You can come stand. I encourage you tonight, get full of the Holy Ghost before you leave this place. Hallelujah. Just press right on in and ask God to fill you fresh and anew. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, you know I need the strength. I need that time of refreshing. Hallelujah. I need your Holy Ghost leading me, guiding me, helping me, showing me. Hallelujah.